Sci-Fi Party Line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Hanako.
Hey.
Hey, hey. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just chilling, getting ready for spring break.
What? We already did spring break, didn't we?
College students, yes, but I work for a school system, and I get out with the kids, so yes, okay, I have a whole week off.
Ooh, lucky you. I need another spring break.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we all needed this, but so I'll be doing a lot of catching up on movies and TV this week.
Yay, that's awesome. Well, you did something very interesting that I wanted to share with my listeners, and that was go to a convention called ICON. And was it a Vampire Diary specific convention, or did it have other things?
No, this was Vampire Diary specific. Basically, ICON, they always do show specific or movie specific conventions. And this is the same company where we've talked about this before. The very first Supernatural convention that I went to was an ICON convention. It was actually their first ever convention. So, and that was back in April of 2008. Okay. I believe so. This time they brought the convention here to Atlanta, since Vampire Diary shoots here in the Metro Atlanta area.
It was kind of easier. I didn't realize
that. Yeah, they shoot in Covington, which is probably about maybe a 30-minute drive from where I am.
Huh.
So they brought it here because it would be easier to get the stars here without having to worry about schedule conflicts, changes in schedules, and everything. Because I believe that the week that the convention was taking place, they were actually shooting scenes for the finale.
Oh,
if
okay.
I'm not mistaken. I think I saw a couple of the stars tweet that during that week. So, you know, it just would have been kind of rough if they would have had to say, okay, well, we need you guys on set for such and such, and then, you know, that would have had to be canceled or, you know, something like that. So it was just a little bit easier, I guess, for them to have it here in the Atlanta area.
Okay, so I saw a really great picture of you and Damon.
Yes.
How was that? I mean, wow, that was such a great grab of a picture.
It was a great picture. He was very...
He was draped all over you like curtains, woman.
Yeah, he was very generous with himself in all his photo ops. There were some really good shots that I saw that weekend at Vampire Diaries with him and with all the other stars. Just very, very good photo ops. There are some photo ops where you see, you know, some of the stars and they kind of look like they don't know what they're doing or why they're there taking pictures and stuff. And the photos that I saw that weekend were all really, really good. So
Who all was there?
Okay, we had Ian Somerhalder and Paul Wesley, which are, of course, Damon and Stefan Salvatore. Stephen R. McQueen, Jeremy Gilbert was there.
Yeah. Did you talk to him? Was he there? Was he cute? Oh, my God. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, ooh. Okay, yeah, we'll get into all that later. Yeah. Michael Trevino was there. He plays Tyler Lockwood. Rob Prago was there. He was Mayor Lockwood.
Okay. You all up on Mayor Lockwood.
Mayor Lockwood is, you know what? That actor is probably one of the friendliest, most open, most unpretentious celebrities I have ever had the pleasure to meet. He's always very open to fans, and, you know, people can just walk up and have a casual conversation with them. I mean, there's just no pretentiousness to him at all. He was probably one of the most fun aspects of the weekend.
Is that because he got killed and he doesn't have a job, or is that...
because he steadily works.
Ah.
He's forever working. He does a lot of indie stuff. He does a lot of local acting. He's very vocal about supporting the business in Atlanta, Atlanta-based, you know, directors, producers. I mean, he's very, very, you know, driven to support his hometown. And he also conducts acting workshops in his own home, which, you know, not a lot of people would do, but he actually lives in North Atlanta.
Okay.
And like I said, just one of the most gracious, just most friendliest guys you could meet. So yeah, it was, and you know, it was a lot of fun. It was
Well,
a
so
lot
who were the ladies in attendance?
of, you know what? There actually weren't any.
What?
Lauren Cohen, who played Rose on Vampire Diaries and who also played Bella on Supernatural, was supposed to be there. She had to pull out because she got picked for a pilot, and they were filming the pilot around the same time as that weekend, so she couldn't make it.
She's
So
doing a lot of stuff. She was on Chuck too.
yes,
And I like the
it's
face. She
fun
has
for
great,
her.
yeah.
Yeah, good for her. Not so fun for us because I
Yeah.
really wanted to meet her. I needed to, you know, I really wanted to let her know as much as I couldn't stand the character Bella on the show because she was always getting on Sam and Dean's nerves. You know, on Supernatural, she was one of the better female characters on there. And, you know, Supernatural fans, they give a lot of flack to the females on the show because they don't want it to take away from the dynamic between the brothers. But I really enjoyed her on that show, and I really wish I had a chance to let her know that. But, you know, maybe next time.
And so Elena wasn't there, and which
No, none of them.
really, that's kind of
None of them
sad.
was there. Candace Akola actually showed up out the blue, her and Matt Davis, and that's Caroline and Alaric.
Oh, okay.
They showed up just to kind of crash the con and, you know, just surprise some people. So a couple of fans did get to see them and talk to them a little bit. My roommate actually got to go talk to Matt Davis while I was upstairs trying to get ready for the masquerade ball. But other than that, it was pretty good.
Okay. That's pretty cool. So I read let's see, I Heart Vampire Diaries. I don't know, it was a link circulating around about how much she really disliked this convention. And I guess maybe she's used to like Comic Con or Dragon Con or something like that. But why would somebody dislike this one?
I don't know. I actually haven't read that report,
Well, she was just saying it was a
but
little unorganized. The staffers were kind of rude. I think some Michael Trevino may have backed out or adjusted the schedule and something. She said the masquerade was hot and breathy. You know, she just was
okay.
unhappy. So I don't know her
All
name.
right. Well, the only thing I can speak of is to my experience. And like I said, because I've been to an Icon before, I kind of knew what to expect. And then also with any convention, you kind of know that there might be some changes, if you will. There were a lot of schedule changes over the weekend, and just from what I gathered talking to different people, and I hate to call out names, but I mean it's already being put out there. But yeah, Michael Trevino was one of the, I guess, problem children of the guests.
It's 'cause he's so hot. You have to forgive
I don't know if that was the case. I mean,
him.
I got to see him just briefly outside of the Friday night carnival, which was kind of like a meet and greet for everybody. You know, everybody, there were like carnival games and, you know, just different little things. So I think he and Rod Prager were the only two celebrities who attended that. I think Trevino maybe only stayed for 20, maybe 30 minutes. And I saw him walking out. And I don't think he came back. I went in a little bit later. And Rod Prager was still there. He pretty much stayed the whole entire time. He
I
was.
wonder, like, what was his deal? Because I know some actors really get into the convention and they'll ham it up and they have a little bit of fun. And then some of them are really like, I am not into this. I don't dig this. I don't want to be here at all. So I just, it's just funny to see which actors are there.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the ones, and then the next morning, he showed up late for, I think it was photo ops or autograph session. I can't remember which one took place first, but he was late for that, which kind of threw the schedule off. And there were different rumors going around as to why he didn't show up. I don't want to put anything inaccurate out there, but
Okay.
you know, there was a lot of stuff from he had to go film something to he was out partying to just there
Well,
was
if he
just
was
lots of
hungover, y'all got to
rumors.
give it to him. You know, just let him go.
Yeah, but you
Hungover,
know
I can
what? For
understand.
you know, but for people who paid, because I mean, the platinum passes, which is like the highest tier of ticketing for Icon, was about $355, and that included admission. That included
So does he get any of this? I mean, he has to get some of it.
Yes, I'm pretty sure it does. I don't know what the cut is, but I'm pretty sure that once you sign on for a convention, you do have to sign a contract, and I'm sure there are certain things that you are probably obligated to appear at. I don't know what the details are, but yeah, so it's like he only stayed a little bit for the carnival on Friday night. He showed up late to stuff on Saturday. I'm not sure what happened with the masquerade ball because I went down late. And by the time I got down there, there was a long line. And apparently the line was so that people could meet the celebrity guests that were there, because apparently everybody who was a guest of the convention was there meeting and greeting guests. But after a while, they left. But we were told, okay, well, you guys don't have to stand in line. They're going to come out here and dance with you guys. No one ever showed up but Rob Prago, and he was down there partying with us until they kicked us out. So, you know, I'm not sure what that deal was. But again, on Sunday, Trevino didn't show up until like an hour before his Q&A, and photo ops got started at 10 o'clock that morning. And I don't think he showed up till close to 1. So I'm not sure what the deal was, but it threw a lot of stuff off. And, you know, there were some fans that were pretty pissed because they were like, oh, this is so disorganized and they don't know what they're doing. They said, this is such time. And then they changed it. I said, guys, you have to understand. I said, the organizers can only do what they can do. If you know, somebody who was contractually obligated to show up doesn't show up, then they have, you know, unfortunately, they're going to have to switch some things out. Like, I know that one of the photo ops that was scheduled was a full cast photo. And that's, you know, everybody who was there in attendance, you got to take your photo with them in one big group shot. And they had to leave Trevino out of a whole lot of the shots because he wasn't there to take them. But there was no way that they could, you know, further switch the schedule around to accommodate his tardiness. So, you know, what I understand, one of the girls that I talked to, she was supposed to get, the group shot, and I think they ended up refunding her part of the money she paid for that group shot because he didn't show up. So.
Oh well, that's why I like to leave TV on TV.
But I mean, overall, aside from that, it was pretty good. You know, I got to go down for Trevino and McQueen did a question and answer panel together, and they were both very funny on stage. It was a lot of fun listening to the different Q&A sessions and just interacting with them. But yeah, there were some hiccups. I think also with as far as the masquerade ball being hot, the room that they had us set in was kind of small compared to the crowd, and I don't really think they expected this many people to show up. Apparently, I was told that there were only a certain number of tickets sold for the masquerade ball, but it looked like a lot more people showed up, and I don't know how they were getting in or what the case was, but you know, it was that I think could have been organized a little bit better, but overall I had a good time. I don't depend on the convention only just to make my fun. I was there with a girlfriend of mine who, you know, I met through Supernatural fandom, but she and I also have Harry Potter and Twilight and Vampire Diaries together, so we hung out a lot. I had a great time. You know, I got to meet some new people. I got to talk to a couple of, you know, people from Icon One that I hadn't seen in a while. So I had a lot of fun.
That's pretty good.
But I didn't go in with over the top expectations.
Well, maybe that person won't go with the expectations again. Maybe we can hear from her or whatever, because I'll link to the site so everybody can read it for themselves. But I will get some of those pictures from you, Hanako, and use them in the show notes so people can see those gorgeous pictures with that gorgeous man.
Yes.
Because you have to share that. Speaking of Harry Potter, there's some stuff going on. I saw some of your tweets. I haven't had time to really click through and figure out what was going on. But, you know, let's talk about what's going on, what's being kicked out of Harry Potter and
okay.
That type of thing.
Well, there's been a lot of clips from Deathly Hallows Part 1 that have been released in the last couple of weeks because, as you know, or as you may not know, the DVD release is on the 15th of this month. Okay. So there have been different clips from, I don't know where they're coming from. Some are being released by Warner Brothers. Some are coming from other countries. So I don't know if it's that the DVD is being released early in other countries or if they're getting sneak peeks, just like, you know, we get it here on the news. We'll see it on like Entertainment Weekly or Hollywood, I mean, Access Hollywood or something like that, where they'll play clips from upcoming stuff. But yeah, apparently there were a couple of key scenes in the movie that were really, really big emotional scenes in the book, even though they were small scenes. And they actually were filmed for the, you know, for the movie and cut.
Oh, so some of the things that I could have been complaining about that wasn't in there, like what? Like what?
Okay, there was a scene, and there is a link to it. I actually did two separate blog posts on two of these clips
on Hollywood
my
News?
Website.
Oh,
no, actually,
HR
I did
product?
It on my website because actually my contract with Hollywood News has ended.
Oh, okay.
So for right now, I'm not writing for them. So I'm just strictly going to be concentrating on Confessions of a Grown-Up Fangirl and Sci-Fi Party Line. But the first clip that got released that made me look and say, why did they cut this out? It was a scene that takes place at Privet Drive, and it's Petunia standing in a now empty house. And Harry comes down the stairs, and she looks and she says, 20 years I've lived in this house, and now in a single night, I'm expected to leave. And, you know, Harry talks to her. He said, you know, they'll torture you if you stay. If they think you know where I am, you know, they'll torture you. And she gives him this look and she says, what, you don't think I know what they're capable of? You didn't just lose a mother that night in Godric's Hollow. You know, I lost my sister.
I remember.
And she walks out. And I was like, why didn't they keep that? You know, there was such complaint from fans about the fact that the Dursleys were not featured in the movie as much. You know, we just basically see them leaving and that's it. And
well, in the movies, in the movies, they've always painted them as, you know, not emotional, stupid, thick-headed people. So there's like, we don't really need that because nobody's going to respect them anyway. And, you know, it's, you know, the 11th hour of Harry Potter. So, you know, why, you know, get something meaty and heavy in there? So I can kind of see why they did it, but for readers of the book,
let me tell you about the second one, that the one that I think you saw my tweet yesterday where I said I was screaming, running around my apartment screaming like, why did they cut this? The whole interaction between Harry and Dudley, where Dudley says, I don't think you're a waste of space, you know, that whole little emotional scene, they actually shot that.
Aww.
And a rough cut of it has been released. It's like you can still see the green screen in the back for the, you know, the Privet Drive neighborhood and everything. But, you know, Dudley is, you know, Vernon is talking to Harry and he's like, this is goodbye for good, right? Not just temporary. And Harry's like, no, this is for good. And Dudley's like, isn't Harry coming with us? And Vernon says, no. He's like, well, why not? He's like, well, he doesn't want to come with us, does he? And Harry said, no. Besides, I'd just be a waste of space, wouldn't I, Uncle Vernon? And Dudley stops, and the scene is kind of comical, which is one reason why I think they may not have included it, because of Dudley's reactions. It's like Dudley like takes some small steps to go towards Harry, and he's looking at his dad like to see if Vernon is going to say something. And he walks up to Harry, he holds out his hand and shakes his hand, and he says, I don't think you're a waste of space, you know. And it was just like the way that they said the scene was exactly how I pictured it in my mind when I read the part in the book. And that was a very emotional, you know, little section in the book, because it's like, finally, we see that they are not as cold-hearted as, you know, we've been led to believe. Or maybe just, you know, in the last few years since Dudley was attacked by the Dementor, maybe he's come to realize, okay, maybe Harry doesn't have it just as easy as we think he does. Or
yeah, they could have put that in and cut some of the damn travel tent scenes.
Yeah.
Honestly, they could have sped that up.
There were some other scenes that were included. There was a cute little scene with Ron and Hermione where it's basically just a little carefree moment between them while they're out on the never ending camping trip. Mm-hmm. And he's teaching her how to skip stones on the lake. And it was a cute little scene, but I can kind of understand why they pulled that one, because I don't think it really would have fit in with the But it was a cute scene, and it was just Ron and Hermione by themselves, you know, just being carefree, and kind of like you could kind of sense a little bit of the tension between them as far as their feelings for each other, but it wasn't overpowering, you know, and it was just a really nice, you know, really cute scene.
Well, at least we get to see them and kind of put them in our head,
Yes,
or
before
something like
part
that.
two.
So it was just the three scenes so far.
There was also another scene that took place in the Ministry of Magic, where Harry was dressed as, or he was Polyjuiced as Runcorn, and Ron was Polyjuiced as Reg Cattermole, two ministry employees. And in the book, there is a scene where Ron and Harry are in the elevator, in the lift, in the Ministry of Magic, and the lift opens up, and Arthur Weasley gets on the lift with another employee. And of course, because Harry and Ron are disguised, he does not know that this is who they are. He just knows that it's one employee that he likes and one employee that he despises, because Runcorn is one of the employees who is trying to get the Muggleborns out. So the scene is of, Arthur and the other female employee who got on the lift talking to Ron's disguised character for a little bit. And he gets out of the lift, and Harry, in his disguise, calls out to him and says, "Arthur, you do know you're being watched, right?" And it's like it's Runcorn, but with Harry's voice. And he's trying to warn Arthur that the ministry, or that Umbridge, is tracking him, is paying attention to him. And Arthur, of course, because he's looking at who it is, he thinks that it's a threat towards him. He's like, "Are you threatening me?" And he says, "No, it's a matter of fact. They're tracking you. Be careful." And it's like Arthur kind of looks like, almost kind of like he may have caught Harry's voice, but he's thinking, "No, it can't be. No, it can't be." So, it was just a little bitty scene, but I would have liked to have seen that too. But then again, me being a book purist, they could have filmed everything and I wouldn't complain. So,
Book
and then the
purist.
other big news that came out is that there was an advanced screening of a test screening of Deathly Hallows Part Two in Chicago yesterday.
Oh, so
Yeah.
they're done.
They're
Then if
done. They
they're
finished shooting in December. They went back and reshot some of the scenes from the epilogue, but they finished in December.
Oh,
So,
that epilogue.
oh, and from preliminary reports from what I've read about the test screening yesterday, the reports that I've read are non-spoilery, because a lot of people don't want to know, even though we know what the story is and what's in the story, we don't want to know what's been changed or what hasn't, or what they, we just kind of want to be surprised. So, MuggleNet posted a really good review about what, certain aspects that we can expect. I do know that one key scene has been changed, and I've heard rumors on what scene that is. So, but I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. So, I won't say. I mean, if you Google it, I'm sure you will find out.
Yeah, I won't. I'll be surprised in the movie.
But
I'll be one of those people.
overall, from what I gathered, I will need to have maybe two boxes of Kleenex when I go to the movie.
Yeah, maybe I'll drink again because I think I may have teared up, but I was just more like, bah, I don't know what to say. So
Well,
I'll have to watch it again sober when the
here's the other
DVD
thing.
comes out.
From what I understand, I think the first 4 minutes of Deathly Hallows Part 2 will be on the Blu-ray DVD disc for Deathly Hallows Part 1. And I do know that there were some clips. I'm not sure if it was the same first 4 minutes or just, different clips interspersed into one trailer, but there was some DH2 footage shown at CinemaCon this earlier this week. And a lot of people are like, "Yeah, that movie, it's going to be a rough one. It's going to be a rough one." So it's like I'm ready for it, but at the same time I'm not. I want to see how they finish it up, because from what MuggleNet's report stated, this is the one that has been more closely adapted from the books than any of the seven films before it.
Wow, even like the first one, because the first one was like word for word almost.
Just about, but yeah, apparently seven part, I mean, Deathly Hallows Part Two is probably one of the most closely adapted films of the whole franchise, and it's only 2 hours long. But they're saying that that 2 hours,
Poor bladder.
well, I mean, think about it, the rest of them have been two and a half, a little bit over. So, I mean, DH Part One was 2 hours and 38 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a little bit shorter, but yeah,
Yeah,
apparently
man,
it's
they're gonna
going
have to
out with a
start
bang.
jam packing everything in there. I don't know how they're gonna pull that off. All I know
They
is
said the 1 hour of it is nothing but the battle at Hogwarts. So for like the last hour, we're going to see nothing but fighting and Hogwarts and death.
Oh, that's nice. Because, wow, that's better than the tent. At least it'll be some action, you know, because yeah. that tent, that killed me. That killed me.
I don't know if I'm ready for that. I mean, just the many...
Yeah, but the people who died, it's just like, oh...
No, right. There's one like really, really big death in Hogwarts that like literally when I read this death, I threw my book across the room and I refused to pick it up for half an hour.
No, I wasn't.
They actually showed a clip of it during Harry Potter weekend a couple of weeks ago. They did a sneak peek of Deathly Hallows Part 2 and they actually flashed to the scene of this one character being dead. And I got goosebumps. I was like, oh, they really did put this in the scene. And I mean, in the movie. And oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to deal with this. Just that's going to be a very emotional movie for a lot.
I was done with the emotion when they killed that one dude. What was the guy? Harry Step Godfather.
Oh, yeah. Sirius.
Sirius Black. I was done. The emotions. And then Dobby, they like practically like threw him in a ditch and left him. I mean, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I'll probably try to get into it and get some tears going on.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely gonna have
one
to
last
do
time.
Read. I'm gonna have to do a reread.
A reread?
Yeah.
Dude, how many you've read that like 25 times already?
Yeah. Well, no, Deathly Hallows, actually I haven't because of the fact that Deathly Hallows is so for me, it was such an emotional book. I can't read it as many as I would the other ones because the deaths that happened in Deathly Hallows probably touched me more than any of the other deaths in any of the books.
Mm. Well, they didn't kill. Well, I won't say that in case somebody didn't read the book. So
yeah,
we'll just, you know, back away from Harry Potter for right now. But yeah, so if you want to be spoiled or, you know, hinted at or teased, we'll have those links up for hmrpotter.com and you can see those snips and get news there. Next, we're going to talk about Camelot. It is a Starz original series. And we already have Merlin, which is a BBC TV show. Did you watch Merlin at all?
No, I have not watched Merlin yet.
Okay, Merlin is like, it's not as campy as, say, Hercules and Xena, but okay. It's kind of on par with Smallville.
Okay.
I'll go Smallville on that. But this Camelot is more like, say, the Tudors.
Yes. And I'm loving it so far.
I was very impressed with this because the premiere, the pilot was an hour and 45 minutes long. I was like, wow, that's really, you know, that's long.
Yes. Basically what they did, they took the first two episodes and just premiered them at the same time. Mm-hmm. They actually did. They actually showed the first episode a couple of weeks ago as a sneak peek.
Okay.
So a lot of people already knew what the first hour was going to bring. That second hour was just very unexpected. You know, I didn't know how they were going to do things or where it was going to go, but I'm liking it so far.
Yeah, I think it's a very good show. I was surprised that I was liking it because I don't know, for whatever reason, if I see something in Fantasyland, I'm thinking of Lord of the Rings, and I have Lord of the Rings fatigue like nobody's business. So I just, Middle Earth, I'm just tired of it. But this, I like it. I relate to it. The nudity in it seems unnecessary. I'm not sure, you know, I guess it's for whoever wants to see that. But it's like the final scene. You know, spoilers, people, you know, don't email me or tweet me about spoilers. But the final scene where she just, I'm ready. And then, you know, drops her dress and she's full naked. Like, why do we even need that? Is there going to be werewolves? Is she going to make out with the dog? Is there going to be bestiality here? I don't know. But we didn't need that. We didn't. But other than that, the guy from Flash Forward is Merlin, which I thought was a surprise. And he's a good Merlin. He's a dark, edgy Merlin.
Yes, Joseph Fiennes.
Yes.
Yes, I'm loving his Merlin.
So
love him. But it's so funny because when I first saw him, I just had to look at him and I said, oh my God, it's Voldemort's brother. Because, you know, that's, for those of you who don't know, which of course, I'm sure most people do. He's
Ralph
Fiennes' brother, and they really do look alike.
They
but
do.
It's
as
so
soon as you
funny.
Said that, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
I did
because
not
it's
realize
like
that.
there's a couple of Harry Potter connections in Camelot because Jamie Campbell Bower, who plays Arthur, is also in Deathly Hallows Part One. He was the young Grindelwald.
Okay.
And he's also, he's one of the Volturi in the Twilight series.
Okay, that's where I seen young Mr. Thing.
Yes, he's
Where
the
he played the
blonde pretty one
Oh
in
yeah.
on the Volturi.
And he was in the TV miniseries that was so very bad, The Prisoner. If
Okay,
you
see,
wanted
I
to
didn't see
Hey,
that one.
don't do it. Don't do it.
Okay.
Because yeah. Okay, so we're gonna step away from
But yeah,
that.
so well, apparently if that one's bad, he got a good one because I love his portrayal of Arthur.
I
Love
do. I
him.
didn't think I would. I was like, because the author on Merlin, he's more burly and he's a cutie pie as well in his own right, but he doesn't have that doe-eyed young thing that's going on. But his King Arthur is, I like him. And when he speaks, he's like, oh, that is a king. I can feel
Yeah, but also he plays them with the right amount of vulnerability, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's like you take this teenager or young adult, and he goes from one, life as a farm boy, and you're telling him that he's the future king, and you're expecting him almost overnight to step into this role. And to see that he's, unsure of himself for a little bit and just kind of, what am I supposed to do? And just to see him be vulnerable, it's a very nice touch to it.
Yeah.
He's not arrogant in the least, and it's just, except when it comes to women. But
Yeah, but
other
he
than
doesn't have
that,
that chiseled thing that, older, more experienced people do. And
yeah.
so, yeah, that vulnerability. Yeah, I can really see
But
that.
yeah, I'm loving his portrayal, and I've not heard anyone say anything negative about the show yet, which is good.
Well, it's still spanking new, so.
Yeah. But there are some shows where the first one you when you see the first episode, you're kind of like,
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know,
the
I'm kind
cape.
of on the fence. And
That's the cape, and that's Event. The Event. Those two shows, you can watch the first one and be like, oh, hell no.
well, I was like that with True Blood too. With True Blood, I was kind of like, okay, I'm not sure I'm gonna give
Shit.
it a th It wasn't until the fifth episode that I said, okay, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and stick this out and see what I'm telling you, it wasn't until Lafayette's Aidsburger speech
AIDS
that
burger.
I was hooked. So, the fact that, here we are, we've seen the first two episodes of Camelot, and I've heard nothing but good things about it. It's a good start. It's off
Felt
to a
like
very good
a
start.
movie, an epic movie on Stars, and I was just so blown away by how crisp everything looked and how the HD just really brought this out. It popped on screen.
Yeah.
The colors, it just everybody fits. It's not like some TV shows where you're like, oh, these actors are, they're just, you don't
Yeah.
relate to them. They're boring looking and they're bland. Every actor in this thing looked the part. They felt right.
But
Everything feels right.
Stars is, they've got some really good original series on
Torchwood
the
is coming
shows. I
up.
mean,
Yeah.
and see, I haven't gotten into that one either, but I'm thinking more recently of Spartacus.
Yeah, Spartacus.
Spartacus Gods of the Arena. It was a six episode series, and everybody knew that going in. But when it ended, I was like, I don't know what to do now, because Spartacus Blood and Sand isn't coming back until next year, I think. So
Right.
it's kind of like, what am I gonna do? There's no blood, no sex, no drama. Oh, what am I gonna do? I totally fell in love with that series.
Yeah.
So start. I don't know what it is they're doing, but they need to keep doing it.
Because at first, like when I got my cable package, they said they were going to give me HBO, but somehow they switched it to Stars, and I was pissed. I was like, I don't want no, I don't even know what Stars is. I don't want Stars, blah, blah. And now I'm like, well, I'm kind of glad I got Stars, because now that they have
Yes.
the new Torchwood, they have this Camelot, was absolutely gorgeous. I still haven't quite gotten to Spartacus because I'm not sure if I'm ready for it.
Oh, you need to get into
Yeah, I
that.
don't know. I
Oh.
mean, I'm not sure if I'm ready to process full frontal male nudity on TV, like in person. Yeah, okay, fine.
But you know what? It's for as far as the male frontal nudity, it's not so much that it kind of, that it would throw you off. I mean, yes, there's some in there. There's probably more female
Yeah, I
nudity
don't want to see
and
that either.
more, there is a lot of gratuitous sex in the series, but I mean, the overall theme of the series, it's wonderful. I love it.
I know. Eric T
Love
keeps
it.
telling me to watch it. I'm gonna. He finally got me
Yes,
to watch
this is
Glee,
Eric.
so I might watch it. Maybe a year from now. So it took him. He had to send me the damn Glee DVDs just to make me watch them, and I still held on them for 2 months
You
before
know
I even.
what? I actually have those I think are coming to me next on Netflix. So because I haven't watched them either, and there was a marathon a couple of weeks ago, and I recorded the episodes, but they didn't play them in order. And I'm one of those people, if I find a series that I really like, I want to watch everything. I don't like skipping around. I don't like missing episodes. I don't like coming in the middle of something. So I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna have to start from the beginning, just get them from Netflix and just watch them straight through until I can get caught up with everybody else. So
And that's what we're doing here. So I don't know what they're gonna do now that we have two Merlin series. I mean, we have Merlin, then we have Camelot. I just don't know what to do with that. I'm confused because I like both of them, and they both have their merits. So it's and already in this first episode, this Camelot is way different from the other Camelot on Merlin because Uther is still alive. Uther's been alive for like two, three seasons. But
okay.
in this thing, Uther's like he's gone. He was gone like in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll
Well, I
see.
mean, it's probably, I mean, especially as far as the more, I guess you could say, adult themes. Like, I'm pretty sure they don't show the sex scenes and the nudity on
No.
Merlin, but
No.
they do on Camelot. So you just, one is just
Oh,
a
and
less
Guinevere.
grown-up version,
Well,
and
yeah.
one is a grown-up version. I mean, I kind of look at it the same with Vampire Diaries and True Blood. Like, I love both of those series, but Vampire Diaries is something I can watch with my kids, and True Blood is something I definitely cannot watch with my kids.
I
So,
would hope not.
oh
Wow.
no. So,
Another major difference between Merlin and Camelot is that Guinevere on Merlin is black. So,
So I recently just heard, I did not know that.
well,
Someone
she
just
might be half
Oh,
something, whatever, blah,
okay.
but she's definitely like a caramel. So she might not
Okay.
be like, black like me, but she's UK British. I don't know what they just call it over there, but she's not a blonde, and she has
Okay.
darker skin. She could be Hispanic. I don't know, but so I found the way they're doing Guinevere in both series pretty interesting. Also, I was in this Camelot. I thought that the sword in the stone was different, way different than I've
It
ever
really
imagined.
was.
Because usually you see it where the stone is in the middle of some mossy field and there's a light glowing on it and the sword is there and then he just goes up to it, stick his boot on the rock and pull it out.
Yeah, and in this one, he actually had to go through like a big obstacle in order to get it. I loved it.
He had to climb up a waterfall. How do you do that? And then push it, pull it in, and all this. But I thought that's like, now that's a challenge.
Yeah,
It's a challenge.
that's a challenge.
So I really enjoyed that. That was pretty good. But
Yeah.
well, anything else about Camelot you wanna?
I'm like I said, I'm loving the series. I'm waiting to see what they do with it next.
Well, okay, guys, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the show. Thank you, Nikki, for your iTunes review. That was really, really great. Everybody else, go to iTunes, say how great we are because we're awesome. And, sometimes you just need to express that. also, thanks for the Facebook messages. And that would be Gail. Thanks, Gail. Lola, thanks for the like. Goddess Kali and all the others. And today we have also a voicemail. Woo! Aren't we excited? I've been begging for voicemails for I don't know how long. So let's see what we got.
Go ahead, talk to a b talk to your little friend on b.com. Look here, bitch. Don't call my house. Don't get off my home page. Get off my son's page.
Wow.
Is that a joke? Hanukkah, you put somebody up to this, didn't you?
No, I didn't. Mm-mm. Damn. I don't even deal with the phone that much. So, you know, all my messages are always Facebook, text messaging, Twitter. Wow.
Wow. Not sure I know who's. What? You blaming this on me? I think you tried to make somebody watch Being Human. And that's what we get. So this is your fault, Hanukkah. I'm just letting you know.
Hey, Being Human is a pretty damn good show. One of these days you're gonna watch so we can talk about it.
No, that's because I'm gonna call you with that.
That's what we need calls on, people. Call the Sci-Fi Party Line hotline and tell Kat how much she needs to watch Being Human, the US version. Yes.
Yeah. So, guys, when I say, you know, give me a call, that's not exactly what I meant. I don't know who these people are, so I don't know what this lady's talking about or whatever.
Maybe it was one of the guys.
That's a man's voice?
No, I'm saying maybe she was calling for one of the guys. Because she said, don't call my house, and Sci-Fi Party Line doesn't make phone calls. So
yeah, no, it doesn't, because it's Google Voice, so I don't know how to make calls. I don't know. The lady's crazy. I don't know what's going on. I'm innocent. But, you know, thanks for the voice. If it goes on the Sci-Fi Party Line voicemail, it goes on the show. So that's what we're doing. You know, I think we should put up a vote. Not a vote. A poll. We should see what sci-fi character she resembles the most. You think so? Because this is angry. So is she a Klingon? Huh? They're pretty aggressive. Mm-hmm. She could be a werewolf. You'd like that,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
A werewolf. Yeah. How about a Wookiee? They always yelling. You don't know what they're talking about.
I don't know. You know who she reminds me of?
Who? A she-viper.
Debbie Pelt from True Blood.
That's a werewolf, right?
Yes, but she's a specific werewolf. She's crazy.
Right.
So, she's Debbie Pelt. That's who she is. We don't even need to do a poll. She's Debbie Pelt.
I don't know. Maybe she's like a chupacabra or a Vulcan doing Pawn 4 that hasn't made it yet. Or Luxon. Warrior. I think
the Vulcans might be offended that you compared her.
Well, no, because when they're in Pon Farr and they don't mate, they're that angry. So,
okay,
give me that. Okay, so, yeah, that. No, guys, don't call with stuff like that. That's vandalism. It's harassment, verbal abuse, cyberbullying. You know, don't do that. That's not cool. But we're only here to
have fun. Yeah. And to be geeks and to talk about the stuff that we like. So,
yeah. But thanks for the call. Voicemail. Woo! That's epic.
Yes.
Very epic. So any other news that's coming up? Anything? Like?
Not that I know of. So we got
Harry Potter to look forward to. When is that coming out?
July 15th.
July 15th.
And I'm not ready.
DVD is coming out for one.
April 15th. April. So in a few days.
That's this month.
Yes.
Okay. Well, good. I'll get to watch it again. So,
yes.
Okay. Well, that's it for this Sci-Fi Party Line, guys. I'm scared to give out the phone number again, but I'd love your feedback.
No, I think you should do it.
773-336-2686. That's 773-336-2686. You know, I'm fragile. Please, no more yelling. Go to our website. Leave us a comment in sci-fipartyline.com. Send us a tweet at Sci-Fi Party Line. Send us a message on Facebook like you did before, facebook.com/sci-fi party line. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Vote. I'm going to put up that poll. Do it. Bye.
Bye.
End of line.